The job of the Shoshone and Arapaho Joint Business Council is not an easy one. It manages almost 3 million acres of shared land and dozens of social programs on the Wind River Indian Reservation. But last month, it got even more complicated. The Northern Arapaho released a statement resigning from the council, effectively dissolving the council altogether. And they didn't tell the Eastern Shoshone tribe they were going to leave. Since then, the Eastern Shoshone has released a flurry of their own statements, calling the move risky and ill-conceived. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards takes a look at the history of the conflict between the two tribes and what their future might hold without a joint business council.
Let's go back, way back, to 1868. The Northern Arapaho tribe has survived not only the Sand Creek Massacre, but decades of war with the U.S. Army. They're an exhausted people. In the middle of winter, the U.S. Army decides to move them across Shoshone territory to Oklahoma.
Well, you know Wyoming winters. They're very cold, and their horses were not in the best of shape, and some of their children and women were ill.
That's John Washakie, great-grandson of Chief Washakie. He's also a longtime Shoshone councilman and a tribal storyteller. He says the Arapaho and Shoshone had always been traditional rivals, so the Shoshone didn't exactly welcome the newcomers with open arms.
It looked like there was going to be a battle between the two tribes. Chief Washakie, of course, intervened, and he told the Indian agent to take the Arapaho down where the Little Wind walked into the Big Wind, and they could stay there until, you know, till spring. Well, the military didn't do that, and they stayed.
And never left. The Arapaho settled onto the Shoshone Indian Reservation, as it was known then. And in 1938, the federal government gave the Arapaho 50% undivided interest in a reservation shared with the Shoshone people and established the Joint Business Council to run it. In a recent talk at the University of Wyoming, Washakie explained the idea of undivided interest. He says it's a fancy way of saying there's no chopping the reservation down the middle and parting ways.
Let's assume that this is a minute pebble from the Wind River Indian Reservation.
He picks up the small plastic cap of his water bottle.
You pick it up and you look at it. It is 50% undivided interest, meaning you don't know if the 50% is this side. That's the way the holdings are for the reservation.
But over the years, things have become less equal. For one thing, while the Shoshone have less than 4,000 members...
The Arapaho tribe is around 10,000 members. We have like 130 programs. We have almost 1,200 employees.
Dean Goggles is a councilman with the Northern Arapaho, and he says the Joint Business Council was the federal government's big idea, not the tribes.
Both tribes were consolidated into one single body back in 1938, but the members of each tribe elected their own business council. But the federal government continued to push the tribes to a joint meeting. It was not created by the business councils. It was for the U.S. convenience.
Convenient for the feds when they needed to make a decision requiring the cooperation of both tribes. But not so convenient for two tribes whose priorities have been diverging for decades. Goggle says recently the Arapaho have become more and more frustrated.
We had a backlog of a lot of action items. Things weren't getting done. We weren't hiring directors that we should. We had stalemate on a lot of those issues. To get 12 people in a room to agree on anything is pretty difficult.
I kind of view it more as growing pains.
Terevio Fodder is with the American Indian Studies Program at the University of Wyoming. He says the Northern Arapaho's decision is just an example of the messy process of gaining tribal sovereignty.
What's actually happening is amazing to watch, because we're seeing a tribal government that's trying to grow and sort of come into its own, and it's at the expense of a neighbor, of a partner.
Fodder says if the gridlock goes on too long, there will be real economic ramifications for everyone involved.
Any jointly held project, I think, would be up for grabs. There's a potential for job losses. So I think in the short term, at least, we're talking about potential spikes in unemployment.
Shoshone storyteller John Washakie says, yes, this split will be painful.
It's like a divorce, joint assets, and not knowing which half is yours.
But he says, as usual, it's the children that will keep the conversation civil and move it toward a workable solution.
We have many intermarriages. I can see it every day in the school systems, children of both of mixed heritage.
But right now, that solution is nowhere in sight, and it could take a while since Northern Arapaho and Eastern Shoshone officials are still not on speaking terms. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.